Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just for a few moments before we have the Lord's Supper. This morning we talked about a table in the wilderness. And so tonight we're going to talk about a table. And it is the Lord's table. We'll talk about it just for a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We go into several different places. You may want to get a pen, piece of paper, and write some things down. And this will be a sort of a teaching type message, try to help you. A lot of misconceptions about the Lord's Supper, what it is, what it means, who can take it, who can't take it, this, that, and the other. And so we'll try our best to cover those bases here in the next few minutes. And then we'll have the Lord's Supper together and try to explain to you the best way we can. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes this, and verse number 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." The Apostle Paul asks us to follow him, be a follower of him, his doctrine, his books here that he wrote, even as he is a follower of Christ. Notice verse 2. "Now I praise you, brethren." Notice he's talking to saved people. He calls them brethren, so it means he's talking to saved people. He says, "I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances." You say, "Preacher, what are ordinances?" Things delivered. Traditions, if you want to call them that. Things delivered that the Apostle Paul practiced, that he put into practice and wants us to follow him in these ordinances, "as I delivered them to you." Now, I do want to go down to verse number 17, and we'll read that in just a minute. Let me pray, and we'll pick up reading in verse number 17 where it starts talking about the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd bless us, bless our time together. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now, give us that we need. Lord, help us to understand some things about the Lord's Supper. God, I pray that you'd help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Apostle Paul tells us to be followers of him. And he says, "Keep the things I've delivered. Keep the ordinances, the things I've delivered, the things that I practice, the things of traditions that we do." Tradition's not all bad. The Apostle Paul instituted some things. He delivered some things to the church. When I say the church, he wasn't necessarily talking about a local church. He wasn't necessarily talking about Holy Hills Baptist Church. He was talking about the church of God. And now, here, hold your place right here. And turn to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at this. Now, hold your place because we're going back to chapter 11. I do want to see who he's referring to and who he's talking to. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, that tells us who wrote it, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothrenes, our brother. Look at verse 2. Unto the who? Who is he writing this book to? To the church of God, which is at where? Alright, so he's writing this letter to the church of God, which is located in the city of Corinth. Now let's think about something for just a minute, okay? Let's just imagine, if you will. Let's imagine that Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church of God, which is at Dyersburg. You with me? Let's just imagine the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of God, which is at Dyersburg. Let me ask you a question. Who would get the letter? What church would he, what local church would he be sending this letter to? Now, think. Sometimes we're so local church minded, we're no heavenly good. And we believe in the local church. I believe in the local church. Do not go out and say, "Brother Jeremy, don't believe in the local church." I believe in the local church. I believe everything should be funneled through the local church. Support missions through the local church. And tithes and offerings through the local church. Hallelujah. Witness and the bus men, everything through the local church. Everything ought to run through the local church. Hallelujah. But the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of God, which is located at Corinth. Now, do you think there was only one church in Corinth? I can guarantee you there was a bunch of saved folks in Corinth, and I can guarantee you they all didn't assemble together under one roof. So what is he saying? To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to all the saved people located in Corinth, to all the saved people located in Dyersburg, Tennessee. I'm writing this letter to all the saved people, to the church of God, not the denomination church of God. If you're saved, you belong to the church of God. Okay, now we got that straight. Let's go back to chapter 11. Now, when you hear this, you have to forget everything that you were ever taught at a Christian Bible college. And I don't know where you went, don't matter, but 9 times out of 10, they probably told you something wrong. And there's something about a Bible that you can buy for $5 at the dime store or the dollar store. There's something about a $5 Bible, a King James Bible, that'll mess up anybody's education. And all you got to do is just read it, and it'll mess up. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's look here just for a few minutes. I've got to hurry. Paul said, keep the ordinances, keep the traditions that I have delivered unto you. Watch. We believe here at this church that two, there could be more, but there is definitely two of the ordinances of the church. What are they? Number one is baptism. You say, preacher, what is baptism? Baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That does not save you. The picture don't save you. The real thing saves you. Real quickly, if I pulled out of my wallet, had a picture of my wife, I would say, hey, that's my wife. If you wanted to be politically correct, you would say, preacher, that's not your wife. That is a picture of her. I do not take the picture and put it on the stove and say, cook me some bacon. Because it's not the real thing. It's just a picture of the real thing. See, the picture don't save you, but the real thing that it's a picturing does. So here's where we get all confused. It's not the picture that saves, it's the real thing that saves. What that thing is a picture of, death, burial, and resurrection, that's what saves you. But getting back there and getting baptized don't save you. So that is a picture of union. That is a picture of union. You say, preacher, you got to be baptized to be saved? No. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. You got to believe on Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. I believe to show forth a good conscience toward God, you ought to want to show people after you get saved. You ought to want to show an outward testimony. Say, hey, this is what happened to me the other Sunday. I was dead, buried, and rose again. To walk in, raised to walk in newness of life. You with me? It's a picture of a union. Alright, number two is what we're going to talk about tonight. And that's the Lord's Supper. And it's a picture of communion. Now, you say, preacher, what is communion? Alright, listen here. You don't need to know Greek. You don't need to know Hebrew. All you need is a good English Bible. A King James Bible, matter of fact. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hold your place. 2 Corinthians, real quick. And let's just act like we're just going to believe what we read. You say, preacher, what is communion? All right, I'm going to tell you. Now, baptism is a picture of the union. The Lord's Supper is a picture of the communion. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means you ought not marry somebody that's unsaved. Young people, you ought not marry somebody that's unsaved. You ought not marry somebody that's unsaved. If you're not saved, you ought not date them. You ought not just date them. Ain't no sense in ain't no sense in dating them if you ain't planning on. Amen. Well, I think I can change. No, you can't change them. They'll pull you down before you pull them up. That's not the message. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what? What's that word? Okay, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Okay, here's the next phrase. And what's that word? Communion hath light with darkness. Somebody tell me what the definition. You see two words were used interchangeably? Did you see two words that were used interchangeably? What is the definition? I ain't even told you yet. What's the definition of communion? What's the definition of fellowship? Hallelujah. And look, we don't have a college degree. Now you may have. You may have. But that's very simple. All right? That is a picture of union. This is a picture of communion, which is fellowship. Question? How many times do we get baptized? Ought to be. How many times do we do the Lord's Supper? A bunch of times. You see? That is a picture of union. You get saved one time, you ought to get baptized one time. Now I know some people got baptized different times, and there's different reasons for that. That's not the reason. Just we understand. That's a picture of union. There's different circumstances. People get rebaptized. Hallelujah. Some people get baptized and then they realize later it wasn't saved, and then they got saved, then they ought to be rebaptized, because baptism comes after salvation, not before. Hallelujah. So all of that. That's a one-time event. You get saved one time. But the communion, fellowship, that happens a lot of times. I have to renew. Say, why do we do Lord's Supper? You know what somebody told me? And this is common. They say, well, it's just like last Sunday we did communion. We did it last February, first Sunday in February. We do it once a quarter around here. You can do it every Sunday if you want to. You don't have to. You can do it once a year if you want to. The Bible says, as oft as you do it. Whenever you do it, it don't make any difference. Whenever you do it, just do it in remembrance of me. The Bible says, we do it once a quarter, so now we're in the first Sunday in May. We do it, this is our quarter to do Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. Okay. Communion, picture of fellowship. Alright? The Lord's Supper is found four times in the Bible. Once in Matthew, once in Mark, once in Luke, and once in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Those are the four places you'll find the Lord's Supper. Now, you say, preacher, what was the problem here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? All right, let's look. I can hurry through this. You won't believe. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, before we read this, let me tell you what's going on. The people at Corinth are bringing, are ready? They're going to have Lord's Supper. Apostle Paul announced, we're having Lord's Supper tonight. All right? You know what the people at Corinth did? They thought we're having a fellowship meal. They're bringing fried chicken. Hallelujah. They bringing pork chops. They bringing jugs of sweet tea. And they're calling that the Lord's Supper. Now, this is what's going on. And guess what? The rich people in the church were bringing what was enough for their family. And the poor people over here wasn't bringing it because they didn't have nothing. And so the rich people over here looking over here going, oh, look what I got. You ain't got nothing. I'm more spiritual than you are. Look here. And the poor people looking over there going, boy, I wish I had a piece of that fried chicken. You with me? Now, it's all in the Greek. You just have to read it there. All right? Now, watch this, verse 17, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. In other words, Paul says you're only supposed to believe part of what you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Paul says, I hear what you're saying, I just believe part of it. Because we're just hoping and praying part of it's true. Alright, verse 19. For there must also be heresies among you, that which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before an other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? And despise ye the church of God, and shame them which have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you for this? I praise you not. Y'all are taking the Lord's Supper and you're not doing it right. You're bringing a fellowship meal. That's not what it's all about. The Lord's Supper is not fried chicken, pork chops, all this kind of stuff. Fellowship meal. That's not the Lord's Supper. You eat that at your house. Now, don't take that and go, well, we can't have fellowship meal back here. Yes, we can do. Hallelujah. That does not mean you can't. But, hey, don't say, all right, we're having Lord's Supper tonight, so y'all bring your chicken and whatever. No, no, no. Paul says, you do that at your house. But when you come down here, he says, I ain't going to praise you for this. Look at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. Said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till how? When he come. Till he come. Guess what? The Lord hadn't come yet. You know what? We're supposed to do the Lord's Supper till He does come. We're supposed to show. When I got a picture out, I'm showing a picture of my wife, I'm showing you a picture. Okay, tonight, we're going to show a picture till He comes. We're going to show. In other words, when we pass all this out, basically, if you're saved in this room, what you're doing is showing the picture to the person next to you. Or all over the building. We're showing the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Till He comes. That's what we're doing. Guess what? When you take this tonight, the bread does not turn into the body of the Lord. The cup, the juice, it's grape juice. Like the Bible says. Grape juice. Somebody's like, damn it. Great juice, just like the Bible. It's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. It don't turn into the blood of Christ. It's a picture. It's a showing. Showing the blood of Christ. Till He comes. That's what we're doing. This is what He said. As oft as you do it. Some churches do it every Sunday. That's fine. Whatever. I don't like doing it Sunday morning. You're supposed to do it Sunday night. It's not the Lord's breakfast. It's the Lord's Supper. And if we was real correct, we'd have it at 5 o'clock instead of 6. Because supper's at 5, say amen. Dinner's at 12, and lunch is something you put in a paper sack and take school with you. Somebody help me. That's Bible. Maybe. All right. This is what they're doing. They're showing. They're bringing their stuff from the house and having supper. Paul says, huh? Keep that at your house. Eat at your house. When you come down here, we're showing the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. It's very important. Now, all right, real quick, because we got several things to do tonight. Real quickly now, I want to show you a couple of things. Look, you say, preacher, what about this unleavened bread? Now, I don't know about y'all, but every time we have it, oh, it's just horrible. To be honest, if we weren't Bible believers, I'd get us some of them Ritz crackers. Get us some of that squirt cheese and squirt it on there. That's what I'd do. If we wasn't Bible believers. Alright? Now what? You're saying, why is it important to be unleavened? Leaven is a picture of sin. If that bread right down there is a picture of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? Jesus had no sin in Him whatsoever. So that's why it has no leaven in it. You say, preacher, what's leaven? That's what you ladies. It's yeast. It makes bread rise. That's why the thing's little. You put yeast in that thing, man, it'd be like a yeast roll right there, man. I'm telling you, big it. No yeast in it. Why? It won't rise. It won't. Yeast makes it a lot of fluff. Just a lot of fluff. Not a lot of substance, just a lot of fluff. And that's not our Lord. Our Lord, He had sin on Him. He didn't have sin in Him. And that's why that bread is unleavened. No sin. Now watch this. Turn your Bible real quick to... we're coming back to 1 Corinthians 11. Look at Matthew real quick. Let me show you something. I talked about you real quickly about the unleavened bread. Let me give you this real quick. Matthew. Now, I didn't write these down. I'll have to find it. Hang on. Matthew, somebody finds the Lord's Supper in Matthew, holler it out. Oh, I got it around here somewhere. Oh, Matthew, here we go. Matthew 26. Here's where the Lord's Supper is found. Matthew 26, verse 26. 26:26, easy to remember. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And He took the cup and gave thanks. Now what? Remember this, the cup. He got a little cup, like a little juice cup we're going to have. Took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." But I say unto you, watch this. He's going to describe what's in the cup. Y'all with me? He's fixing to tell us what's in the cup. Verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this what? Fruit of the what? Somebody tell me what that is. That's not Morgan David. Or whatever, whoever he is. Fruit of the vine is what? They're sitting at the Lord's table. They got some grapes there. They take the grapes. They got the cup. And they squeeze the grapes in the cup. It's the fruit of the vine. How many of you ever heard this? Here's where we're called, Holy Baptist Church, and there's other hallelujah for everybody, whatever. We consider ourselves Bible believers. How many people have ever heard? Oh, yeah, they drank wine. The Lord's Supper. They sure did. I know the Bible says. You ever heard that? Got news for you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All four say fruit of the vine. Never. Look, if you find wine at the Lord's Supper, I'll eat every page. Fruit of the vine. So, what are we going to have tonight? Fruit of the vine. If you let that grape juice ferment. Fermentation, the process, it takes leaven. I don't know if y'all, anybody, but hallelujah, it's been recorded. My uncle makes his own, hallelujah. To serve at the church house. And you know what he told me? It's how you make it. You put leaven in there, yeast, leaven, to make that fermentation take place. Can somebody help me? If you don't want leaven in the bread, then why do you want leaven in the cup? I'm sending this to him, by the way. Somebody help me. I'm not that educated. I went to school. I didn't let it bother me that bad. But I know how to read. Say, preacher, what are you supposed to... Hey, we do what the Bible says. And I ain't got time. But Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 8 says this. The new wine is found in the cluster. Anybody know what a cluster is? It's a cluster of... Take a cluster of grapes. That's where the new wine is found. That's what we got picturing. The blood... The pure, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I got 3 or 4 minutes because I'm trying to get so we can have Lord. It takes a while to have Lord's Supper because we're passing out to everybody. And we got a good crowd here tonight. So, I'm trying to be respectful of time. Let me give you two things and we're done. Number one, you want to write this down? Not everybody is supposed to take the Lord's Supper. Oh, boy, y'all like, oh, man. You say, "Preacher, who is the Lord's Supper for?" Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "I'm writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth." All the saved people at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2, he says, "Now I praise you, brethren." He's given and instituting the Lord's Supper to save people. Now, if you're in the room tonight, and you've never been saved, you're not supposed to take the Lord's Supper. You say, "Why? Why can't I?" Because it's hard to show the Lord's death and the burial and the resurrection if you've never experienced it. If you've never been married, you shouldn't have a picture of the wife in your pocket. "Oh, here's a picture of my wife." "Well, when did you get married?" "Oh, I'm not married." "But it's a picture of my wife." "Well, when did you get married?" "I ain't married." You see, it's impossible to show a death, burial, and resurrection if you've never experienced it. So, number one, you got to be saved in the building to accept the Lord's Supper. You've got to be saved. That's just like baptism. You don't get baptized before you get saved. You get baptized after you get saved. Why? Because you show it. Show it. The Lord's death. So he comes. You see that ring on my finger? That shows something. It's a token. It's a showing forth of what's going on. Of a spiritual thing. That's an outward thing showing a spiritual thing. This is an outward thing showing a spiritual thing. That's an outward thing showing a spiritual thing. Hallelujah. Alright. I'm almost done. Watch. Let me explain this to you real quick. There is some people. Every church is different. Like I said, we're Bible believers. Some people, you may want to know this. It's really not that important, but you may want to know it. Some people classify themselves as closed communion. That means that you can only take communion if you're a member of Holy Hills Baptist Church. That's what they call closed communion. We're not closed communion around here. Closed communion. Watch. And this is where they get this. They say, "Well, Brother Jarrett, up in the upper room, they had the Lord's Supper when the doors were shut." I love when they tell me that. You know why? Because my next thing is, well, guess who's behind closed doors? Judas. An unsaved treasurer. And most of them are. But I want to... Hallelujah. That woke them up there. Anyway, kidding about that. Judas is up there behind closed doors, unsaved. And watch this. What they're saying is, if it's closed communion, then only a membership. But I guess, hey, how many people have you known that was church members that found out later they wasn't saved? And you done served an unsaved person at your church. So, we're not closed communion. The other side is open communion. That means anybody. Anybody, no matter where, is anybody taking? That's the other extreme. Well, let me tell you where this preacher's at. Now, you just have to figure out where you want to be, and that's fine. I believe in close communion. Close. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" That means you ought to be of like faith before you take it. Which means, if the archbishop, cardinal come in here, I wouldn't want to take it with him. We not like faith. If a Mormon come in here, I wouldn't want to take it with him. We not like faith. Is everybody with me? So on and so forth. And I can get a little closer than that, but I believe, Paul, give this, and I'm moving on. Paul, give this to people that preached and taught like the Apostle Paul. And if you don't preach and teach like the Apostle Paul, then we're not of like faith. So number one, you ought to be saved. Number two, you ought to be a like faith. In other words, and that has nothing to do with denominations. Forget all of that. Amen. You believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. You believe He was buried, rose again the third day. You're saved. Hallelujah. You believe salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Hey, that's a good start of being like faith. Amen. All right, lastly, number two. First one, got to be saved. Number two, and I'm done. Make sure the slate is clean between you and God. You're at 1 Corinthians 11, and we're done. Look down here. Verse 27, and I'm done. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means you've got sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life. Shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Oh, I don't want that. How do you fix it? Verse 28. But let a man, what? Examine himself. Do you know what? It's not my job to come through here and go, okay, you can take it, you can't. Oh, you can. No, you can't. No, yeah, you can. No, you can't. It's not my job to do that. The Bible says, let a man, woman, boy, girl, examine himself. I can't do that for you. You'll have to do that. So let him eat this bread and drink this cup. You'll go down there in verse number 31. I'm trying to hurry. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know what we got to do before we take the Lord's Supper tonight? We got to, every last one of us, including this preacher, all the way back, everybody in the, has got to judge themselves. So we're not judged of God. Say, preacher, how do I do that? Take just a few minutes here in just a second. Mark's going to slip to the piano right now. We really won't need a hymn of invitation per se. Mark will just play something real quickly.